So, what do we need to know about child baptism? That's what we're going to discover on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio program. I'm glad that you've tuned in because we are doing something that we love to do. Once every so often, we take a number of weeks to just answer questions that have come in from listeners just like you. What a cool thought. You could get your questions answered right here on the air. You can do that. It's simple. You just send us an email with your question. You can send your question to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's question about child baptism with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are answering your questions that you can send to radio@faithalone.org. You know, these questions come out of our magazine, Grace in Focus, that is published every other month. It comes out of our blogs, which we publish every day. It comes out of this radio show. So there's a lot of material we put out that we think is edifying. It's obviously thought-provoking because I have a stack of questions here, such as this one from James. James writes, an article in Grace in Focus reports that younger kids might more correctly understand faith in Christ than older kids. However, the author did not address the issue of child baptism. Sometimes people call it paedobaptism.
Right.
This is a hot-button issue among Baptists. The average age of Baptists in churches was 18 200 years ago, but today the average age is much younger, and some are as young as 4 or 5. In my opinion, paedobaptism is not consistent with a valid expression of faith. Many people who were baptized as children later report that they did not understand what they were doing and did not regard it as valid. What is your opinion on this?
So now he's not saying that the average age of people in Baptist churches is 18, but the average age at which they get baptized.
Right, at which they get baptized 200 has
years
dropped
ago,
from
anyway.
18 to,
like
he says, much younger.
Or 5.
I would say this, first of all, paedobaptism isn't really about baptizing 5 or 6 year olds. It's about baptizing 8-day-old babies.
Right.
Babies who obviously can't understand anything or express any type of faith, or they're babies.
It's infant baptism.
It's infant baptism, not child. He calls it child baptism, but it's not quite child baptism.
There's a big difference in baptizing a 6-year-old and baptizing a 6-day-old or six. I was like 6 months old when my parents had me christened in the Orthodox Church.
Right.
Well, I didn't know what was going on, obviously.
Right.
But if you're 6 years old or 7, if they're understanding the issues involved, then you certainly should be able to understand.
Right. So we do not believe in infant baptism.
No.
There is no command or example in Scripture of an infant being baptized. The only examples I see in Scripture are people being baptized upon profession of faith in Christ.
Right.
So what's our opinion? Our opinion is definitely infant baptism is wrong. It should be upon profession of faith in Christ. But wouldn't you say that young kids can believe in Jesus credibly?
I would. My point would be there's a fine line between baptizing someone who wants to be baptized for the wrong reason, to impress their friends, to impress their parents, to get some attention, as opposed to young children who really want to be baptized for the right reason.
Right.
If there is a child that is 6, 7, 8 years old that knows they've believed in Jesus for their salvation, for everlasting life, and they know by faith in Jesus they're guaranteed they're going to be with the Lord forever, and they see in Scripture that Jesus wants them to be baptized, then I see no reason why you shouldn't baptize them. But on the other hand, if you have a 5, 6, 7-year-old and their friends are being baptized, or their older brothers or sisters are being baptized, and they're like, oh, let me be baptized, let me do that.
Right.
If they don't have a clear reason why they want to, mom and dad should say, well, we're not even going to bring that before the elders, before the pastors.
Right.
Because we need to have the children old enough to where they're wanting this for the right reasons.
Right. I have some kids, and my youngest, Daphne, is 7. I think she's made a credible profession of faith in Christ for eternal life. I think she gets it. Zane has been, he's 5. He's said he's believed in Jesus for eternal life, but in follow-up questions, he's kind of been inconsistent, I think.
Right.
But I haven't pushed baptism for either Daphne or Zane. I kind of want to wait until I know for sure this is something that they want for the right reasons. I kind of think that this is a step in discipleship, and it needs to be very credible.
You know? Right. Well, we're in a kind of a gray area because just like we don't have any command or examples in Scripture to baptize infants, we really don't have any examples in Scripture of 5, 6, 7-year-old. We don't know what the age of the youngest person baptized in the New Testament was.
Right.
I mean, we can guess and we could say, well, maybe it was a 10-year-old. You know, I think it's Matthew 18. Jesus takes a young child and sets it in their midst mm-hmm. and talks about little children like this and that we shouldn't hinder them and that sort of thing. Some commentators have suggested that the boy was small enough that he could lift him up and pick him up and set him down, but he was also big enough that he was able to understand and believe, because Jesus talks about the little ones who believe in me.
Yeah.
So a lot of the suggestions are this boy was probably somewhere in the age of 5 to 10, somewhere in there.
Right.
That may suggest that that age is old enough to be baptized. But the text isn't talking about baptism.
No,
it's talking
not.
About believing. So I've known of churches where they have a blanket rule. We don't baptize children under the teen years. You got to be 13.
Right.
Others are like, they got to be tweeners. You know, they right. got to be at least 11 or 12. But still other churches are like, we'll baptize any child as long as they give a clear statement of why they want this and that they can profess their faith clearly.
I've seen little kids get baptized, and what is troubling to me is not that they're being baptized, but that when I ask them what are they believing in Jesus for, they're really not clear about what kind of salvation Jesus brings them or how they get salvation. That's the thing that I'm concerned about.
That's a great point. Let me give a quick little anecdote, which I may have given on the radio before. I'm old enough I can't remember all the stories I tell, but I pastored a small church originally. When I got there, it was 25 people. It grew to about 75 when I was in the doctoral program. The elders wanted me to meet with all the children between like ages 5 and 17 and just talk with them about their faith and also talk with them about baptism if it was appropriate.
Yeah.
And so I went through with the worship leader. And the two of us met with all of these children, which wasn't many. It was about a dozen or something like that. I remember we met with two sisters one time, but we met with each of them separately. Another time, a brother and a sister, we met with each of them separately. And we did what you were talking about. So we would say, are you a Christian? Well, yes. Are you born again? Are you saved once and for all? Yeah. Well, how do you know that's true? And they would give bizarre answers.
Right.
Like, I remember these two sisters, and both of them said, well, Mom and Dad said if we invited Jesus into our heart, we'd be saved.
Right.
And I said, so why should inviting Jesus in your heart make you saved? He said, I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I just invited him in.
Yeah.
I said, so are you sure you're saved? And they said, well, no.
Right.
How can I be sure?
Yeah.
So then I explained to them from the Scriptures, and they became sure. And I ended up baptizing, in this case, the two sisters and even their mom and dad mm-hmm. because their mom and dad had never undergone believer's baptism.
Right. Oftentimes, you know, after someone gets baptized, you're invited to go up front and shake their hand and congratulate them. And I kind of just make it a point when I
right.
do that
right.
just to say, now, do you realize that Jesus gives, you know, eternal life to believers? And I just kind of check it
right,
out. And I often feel like even though they've just been baptized in the Baptist church, I'm evangelizing someone who doesn't quite yet believe
right.
the gospel. So that's the thing that troubles me. Let me raise up a second point related to baptism that might be of interest. It's about Lutherans. Here's my point. Lutherans, Martin Luther rediscovered the doctrine of justification by faith apart from works. He really emphasized that. But he also believed in infant baptism and baptismal regeneration. And I have always thought that the one contradicts the other. And I've asked Lutherans this question. When do you get born again? When you believe or when you get baptized?
As a baby, of course.
Yeah, as a baby, yeah. right? Or even as an adult. Let's say
right.
you believe and then 6 months later you get baptized in a Lutheran church. At what point were you born again? And oftentimes, what a Lutheran person, and I'm not attacking anyone, I'm saying think about this, they've appealed to paradox It's a paradox. We don't know. It's both, both and. What they would call a paradox, I would say, is a contradiction.
Right.
If you believe in infant baptism and regeneration at that point, you are denying justification by faith apart from works. You're saying there's salvation just by getting wet.
Right.
And you don't need to believe. You just need to get baptized in water. And so I think infant baptism contradicts the promise of everlasting life to the believer.
Right, and I think you make a good point when you're talking about Luther and maybe some modern Lutherans, is that it is possible for a person to somehow believe two contradictory things, even though philosophically that's impossible.
Right, right.
You can't believe two contradictory things, but people are illogical.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they'll say, this is true and this is true, and I don't know how they fit together.
Right.
It's a paradox or whatever. Antinomy is another word people use, you know, something which appears to be contradictory but isn't really. I think what actually happened probably with Luther is there was a point in his life where he recognized that it was simply by faith in Christ, apart from baptism, apart from works, and that over time with all the persecution he kept getting, he went back to infant baptism, but
he was just confused. I can imagine a lot of people just getting confused. One day,
right,
they believe in Jesus and they know that they're justified and they're saved forever.
Right.
And then someone tells them, well, actually, you also get regenerated when you get baptized. And then they just get confused afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people are confused in that way. And if that's you, I would really encourage you to go to faithalone.org. Look up words like baptism. Look up words like faith alone. And be clear. Be sure about your own salvation. Be sure about what Jesus promised the believer, that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, not whoever gets baptized as a baby, but whoever believes. So if you believe in Jesus for that eternal salvation, you have it. Anyway, send us more questions to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you, and keep on listening to this station.
Thanks, guys, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not someone is still saved if they deny the faith. You're going to want to tune in for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.